Ramayana Act 2, Chapter 8. Ravana's Lust Incited. Scene 2. The History of Ravana. Ravana snored derisively. He would not be humiliated by any mere man. He thought of his own power. Thousands of years ago, he had gone to the Himalayas, intent on performing austerities in order to gain unmatched material opulence. It was then that he approached Lord Brahma. Surviving on air alone, he took only one breath every day. When he failed after a long time to propitiate Brahma, he then began the sacrifice. He cut off his 20 arms one by one and offered them into the fire to please Brahma. And when Brahma still did not appear, the demon began to cut off each of his 10 heads and place them in the fire. At last, Lord Brahma appeared before him. Ravana then secured his boon, which he now recalled. He had not asked for immunity to humans. But how could any human even look at him, never mind fight with him? Why, even the gods fled in fear when he mounted his chariot for battle. This Rama sounded most unusual. But nevertheless, Ravana was proud of his hard-won strength and felt sure he could kill Ram without difficulty. Standing with his back to a Kampana, Ravana said, "I shall go immediately and finish this Ram." Scene 3. A Kampana's Suggestion. A Kampana was intelligent. He had already realized Ram's irresistible strength when he saw him fighting. The Rakshasa had thus stood back from the fight and had made his escape. He considered that Ravana's chances of defeating Ram were very slight. Therefore, he advised his king, "When Ram is enraged, he cannot be tamed by any warrior. In my opinion, he could, by the force of his arrows, tear down the very heavens with the sun, moon, and constellations. Why, he could stem the current of a flooded river or break down the shores of the ocean and deluge the entire world. With his arrows, Ram could lift the earth itself. Indeed, that illustrious man could dissolve all the worlds and then create them again." Ravana turned and looked pensively at a Kampana. Clearly, Ram was no ordinary man. A Kampana was himself a powerful commander of the Rakshasa forces. He knew how to estimate the strength of the enemy. The Rakshasa king listened carefully as a Kampana continued, "I do not think you will be able to defeat Ram in battle any more than a sinful man can attain the regions of heaven. However, there is a way by which you can probably overcome him. Listen as I tell you." Ravana sat on his throne and leaned forward attentively as a Kampana went on, "Ram has come to the forest with his wife Sita. I have heard she is more beautiful than any goddess, female, Gandharva, or Apsara. From all accounts, she is a stunning jewel among women. She cannot be compared to any other. And surely, she is dearer to Ram than his own life, as he has brought her with him even to the lonely forest. O King, by means of some trick, kidnap Sita. Ram will thus be overcome by grief, either death or be weakened enough for you to defeat him. Scene 4. Maricha warns Ravan not to anger Ram. Ravana pondered Akampana's suggestion. Ravana liked the idea. Thanking Akampana, he decided to go the next day to find Sita. But first, he needed to seek the help of Maricha, the son of Taraka. He was well known for his magical powers. Ravan mounted his chariot, which shone like the sun, and was drawn by great mules with the heads of fiends. As he sat in his golden chariot, which had a white canopy spread over it, Ravana was fanned by attractive maidens. His strongly built body was the color of glossy black gems. With his 10 heads and 20 arms, he resembled a 10-peaked mountain. And as his chariot rose up to the sky, he cast his splendor like a thundercloud with flashes of lightning. The mighty Rakshasa moved swiftly ahead, surveying the scene below. Heading north toward the Himalayas, he saw beneath him the beautiful coastline. It was crowded with hermitages and graced with numerous woods and lakes filled with lotuses. Many siddhas, charanas, gandharvas, and other divine beings sported in great joy in and around those lakes. Thousands of apsaras danced and played with the gods. Ravana saw in the sky wonderful aerial cars, just like white mansions, adorned with celestial garlands and carrying the residents of heaven. From the cars came the sounds of delightful music, which enlivened the heart and mind. Passing over great forests, Ravana came at last to the northern mountains. There he found Maricha's hermitage. Defeated and punished previously by Ram, Maricha had retired to the forest and had dedicated himself to the practice of penance. He looked up in surprise as Ravana's chariot descended from the sky. Maricha rose up quickly and greeted the overlord of the Rakshasas. "Welcome, great king," he said reverentially. "I hope everything is well in Lanka. What has brought you to this lonely forest, inhabited only by ascetics?" Maricha offered Ravana celestial foods unknown to humans. He sat him on a mat of kusha grass and served him personally. But Ravana only looked at the food and said to Maricha, "My entire army of Rakshasas, led by the powerful Kara, has been destroyed by Ram, a son of King Dasharath, contending single-handedly while on foot. I am here to seek your assistance in abducting Ram's wife, Sita. By this means only will I be able to overpower Ram. Maricha stood up. He was startled. He asked in horror, "By what enemy in the guise of a friend have you been tendered this advice? Who have you offended so that they would suggest that you kidnap Ram's wife? That person clearly seeks to rid the world of the Rakshasa's lord. Using you as his tool, he desires to extract the fang from the jaws of a serpent. Who is it, O king, who has dealt you a powerful blow on the head, even as you slept peacefully?" Maricha paced up and down, shaking his head. He had already been convinced of Ram's incomparable power. Hearing that he alone had killed Kara and his army only confirmed it all the more. He trembled as he continued to speak. "O Ravan, you should not even think of staring at Ram, that lion among men, whose sharp teeth are his numberless arrows, easily kills small animals in the form of Rakshasas skilled in battle. Do not hurl yourself into the vast and dreadful ocean of the angry Ram. His arms are its alligators, and his weapons are its tossing waves. Remain peacefully in Lanka, enjoying with your wives, and allow Ram to sport in the woods with his wife, Sita." Maricha spoke passionately. He continued to argue against the wisdom of Ravana's antagonizing Ram. Ravan listened thoughtfully. He again recalled his omission to ask Brahma for invincibility against humans. The Rakshasa king asked Maricha why he considered Ram so powerful. Telling him about the incident of Vishvamitra's sacrifice, Maricha replied, "I was once ranging the earth, my body appearing like a mountain, with a huge iron club in my hand. My might exceeded that of 1,000 elephants. I would roam about in the forest, eating the flesh of rishis. Considering me more powerful than even the gods, the sage Vishvamitra sought only Ram as his protector. Ram was a mere boy at the time. When I saw him in Vishvamitra's hermitage, I disregarded him, thinking him to be simply a child. However, with a single arrow, Rama hit and threw me 800 miles into the ocean, and he slaughtered all of my powerful companions." Maricha told Ravana how he had returned to the forest once again. He assumed the form of a Sharaba, a fierce, eight-legged, carnivorous beast capable of killing even lions. In that form, accompanied by two other Rakshasas in similar forms, Maricha continued to terrorize the rishis. One day, he again came across Ram seated in his hermitage. Rakshasas in the form of Sharabhas rushed at Ram, remembering their previous enmity. Within an instant, Ram had lifted and strung his bow, releasing 3 gold-tipped arrows which sped like thunderbolts. Maricha's 2 companions were killed outright. Maricha himself had dodged the arrows and had retreated in fear. He then decided to abandon his life of antagonizing rishis and decided to retire to the mountains. Concluding his speech, Maricha said, "My fear of Ram has made me adopt this life of asceticism. Indeed, I live in continuous dread of that prince. In every tree I see Ram, clad in barks and wielding his bow. He looks like death personified, standing with a noose in hand. I actually see thousands of Rams all around me. Indeed, this whole forest appears to have turned into Ram. I see him everywhere, even in dreams and meditations. If someone speaks out a word beginning with the letter R, I shake with terror. O King, under no circumstances shall I be convinced to again stand before Ram." Ravana sat silently after Maricha stopped speaking. Out of pride, the Rakshasa king still felt capable of dealing with Ram. He was not going to be afraid of a mere human. However, seeing Maricha's reluctance to assist him, Ravana decided to return to Lanka and await another opportunity. He felt sure that his path would soon again cross with Ram. Scene 5. Shurpanakha provokes Ravan. Soon after Ravana arrived back at Lanka, Shurpanakha visited. As he sat atop his 7-storied palace, surrounded by his ministers, his sister came and fell at his feet. Wailing piteously, she rolled about on the ground. She looked up at Ravan, who sat on his golden throne, glowing like a fire fed with abundant fuel. His huge blackish body was covered by celestial robes, adorned with jeweled ornaments taken from the gods. His 20 arms, which could arrest the movements of the planets, looked like great tree trunks. They were marked by scars made by Indra's thunderbolt and other weapons of the gods. He stared down at Shurpanakha with his 20 reddish eyes. Ravana told his sister to get up and asked her why she was lamenting. Shurpanakha, displaying her mutilated face, answered him harshly. "Do you not see my disfigured face? What kind of protector are you, O King? I am but a helpless woman and your sister, but I have been humiliated at the hands of a man. Do you not care for this, O powerful Rakshasa?" The Rakshashi shook with fear and anger as she continued to address the demon king. Everyone reviles a monarch who is licentious and overly attached to sensual enjoyment. Such a king who fails to properly attend to the state affairs is soon ruined. O Ravana, are you not aware that you are losing control of your territories? Having formed enmity with the gods and Brahmins, how can you expect to rest here in peace, enjoying the pleasures of life? You are childish and without any intelligence. You do not know what should be done, and will therefore lose your kingdom before very long. Hearing such a searing rebuke in the midst of his ministers only enraged Ravana. Short-tempered and intolerant, he replied angrily, "Tell me, who has attacked you, wretched woman? Why are you afraid?" Shurpanakha told Ravana what had happened. She also described Ram's annihilation of the Rakshasas exactly as Ravana had already heard it from Akampana. Ravana's curiosity about Ram was once again aroused. "Tell me more about this Ram. Why is he living in the forest? What is his strength? What is his weakness? How has he overpowered the unassailable Kara, Dushana, and Trishira?" After telling Ravana that Ram had been sent to the forest by his father, Shurpanakha described how she had personally witnessed Ram's power. "I could not see when Ram took up his bows or bent his bow, which shone brightly like a rainbow. I saw only the Rakshasa army falling like trees cut down with an axe. The demons resembled a wheat field destroyed by a downpour of hailstones. I also saw by Ram's side his brother Lakshmana. He too seems exceptionally glorious and is clearly devoted to his brother. Indeed, Lakshman appears like a Ram's second self. I hold these two brothers to be practically unconquerable in battle." Shurpanakha, as a Rakshasi, possessed celestial intelligence. Like Akampana, she was able to recognize Ram's power, although she did not understand his true identity. She then spoke cunningly, wishing to incite her brother to confront Ram. "I saw by Ram's side his beloved wife Sita, whose beauty is hard to describe. Her dark eyes and hair contrast vividly with the hue and luster of her body, which resembles molten gold. Her breasts, hips, and thighs are exquisitely shaped, and she shines like another goddess Lakshmi. Shurpanakha knew that her brother was very lusty. He had absolutely no regard for moral laws and took pleasure in enjoying others' wives. The Rakshasi went on describing Sita. "Her countenance is like the full moon. Her thin waist and delicate limbs Why, Sita is beyond compare. I have seen no other woman like her on the face of the earth, whether she be a goddess, Gandharva, or Yaksha. Any man embraced with delight by Sita will enjoy a happiness greater than that of Indra. Without doubt, that peerless female who is of a gentle disposition would be a worthy consort for you, O King of the Demons. Ravan's mind was captivated by Sita's description. He considered how he might win her. Arrogantly, he assumed that Sita would be attracted to him, the great and powerful king of the Rakshasas. But how could she be taken from Ram? Ravana was beginning to think that he needed to exercise caution in his approach to Ram. He listened very attentively as his sister continued to speak. I wanted to snatch away Sita and bring her to you, O brother. But I was most viciously attacked by the wicked and cruel-minded Lakshman. No one but you, O mighty king, will be capable of taking Sita from Ram. Why, surely she should be your wife. Why not go to the forest and see for yourself her wondrous beauty? Shurpanakha longed for revenge. Sita was the cause of her being mutilated. That Rakshasa woman wanted the princess to be taken from Ram so that both Ram and Sita would both feel intolerable pain. Perhaps then, Ravana would be able to overpower the grief-stricken Ram. Shurpanakha gazed imploringly at her brother. Snatch away the incomparable Sita from Ram. Then, standing in the forefront of battle, defeat and kill that human, along with his evil brother, Lakshman. Ravan was convinced. He was already angered by Ram's killing of the Rakshasa army in Janasthan. Now here was his own sister, disfigured and humiliated by the human brothers. Ravana took all this personally. He especially could not tolerate the sharp and taunting words Shurpanakha delivered in front of his ministers. He had to prove his power. And above all, he wanted to have Sita for himself. Thinking again of Maricha, he called for his chariot. This time, he would not be deterred from his purpose. Maricha's refusal to help him was unacceptable. Ravana mounted his great chariot and rose up swiftly into the sky.
Thank you. tu hi mata tu hi pita hai
tu hi mata tu hi pita hai
tu hi mata tu hi pita hai
tu hi to hai radha kashyam
he ram he
Antaryami
sabka swami
tu antaryami sabka swami
tu antaryami sabka swami
tere charanon mein charu naam
he ram he
सवारे इस जग के सारे काम
हे राम हे राम हे राम हे राम
तू ही जग दाता विश्व विधाता
तू ही जगदाता विश्व विधाता
तू ही जगदाता विश्व विधाता
तू ही जगदाता विश्व विधाता
तू ही सुबह तू ही शाम
हे राम हे
सारे काम
हे राम जगदाता विश्व विधाता
तू ही जगदाता विश्व विधाता
तू ही जगदाता विश्व विधाता
तू ही सुबह तू ही शाम
हे राम हे राम हे राम हे राम
जग में साचो तेरो नाम
हे राम हे राम हे राम हे राम
तू ही माता तू ही पिता है माता तू ही पिता है
तू ही माता तू ही पिता है तू ही माता तू ही पिता है
तू ही तो है राधा का श्याम
हे राम हे राम हे
सबका स्वामी
तू अंतर्यामी सबका स्वामी।